Hello, welcome to our weekly show, Parashat HaShavua, the weekly portion, according to the book of Zohar. Hello, Rav Lightman. This is a portion of Mishpatim, Justice, which has a very elaborated laws and sentences of the Hebrew slave and other slavery laws, and what happens with a father who sells his daughter to be a maid, all the fines that are appointed on those who violate the laws. And in most cases, the Torah describes it as a death penalty. It details all the how you treat orphans, widows, about the prohibition to curse the Creator, and many other laws, so that the people of Israel will be holy people. So what does the Zohar says about all that? This is a very, very, very complicated portion. And really, as you have said beautifully, we are a very ancient people. We are a country which was very unique. And according to the laws, that I wish we kept them today, even a little bit in the world. Look what is happening. Even a slave, it says, he who buys a slave buys a rabbi. If you curse someone, if you harm someone, look at the laws that we have. You have to look at the court system today, the law system today, how everything is rotten, how everything is based on bribery. And there the Torah is a Torah of a just trial and sentence. And it warns men not to follow the majority if they're wrong, how to resist. And even if you hate someone and you damage him, how you have to relate to his damages, to his donkey, how to release, how to free the slaves, how not to harm any property of your neighbors. About Shemitah, meaning you have to make some actions towards the land, give it a year off from agriculture. As you free a slave, you should also free the land, give it a year off. And how you should treat people and the Creator when they curse the Creator. Those who are so-called fortune tellers, what to do about them? What should be a just a sentence, eye for an eye? Everything should be very measured. How to come three times a year to the temple? About the maaser, the tenth part of the income. And eventually, Moshe climbs the mountain again for 40 days and receives the second boards of covenant. Even if we would have looked at this portion in an ordinary way, as we read it literally, this is what the common people think, that the literary, it's the opposite. It is unclothed from all concealment. When everything is revealed, this is what it means, pshat. So we start from this world, and then there's the world of Asiya, Bria. Excuse me. Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, Atzilut. And here in Atzilut, we have the end of correction, and we already reached our end of correction. So when we enter, We say the following, that the world of Atzilut is the Pshat, meaning simple. And here is Remez Drush Sod. And the world of Asiya is the secret, meaning we don't even touch the secret of the Torah. Because secret is that I reveal that everything is a secret. It's not clear to me. And what is the Torah talking about anyway? It is as if I enter confusions where I don't understand anything. Why? What happens? What do they want from me? It's not like I read here sentences and it's clear to me that these are sentences, laws between people, between man to man, or between man and nature, or man and the Creator. Rather, I start to think that it's not exactly so. And then when I begin to understand that it is not exactly so, rather the Torah is talking about something which is completely hidden from me, that means that I enter the world of Asiya, the spiritual world of Asiya. Meaning I begin to recognize, to identify that something here is completely not clear. And we're not talking about human relations. We're not talking about how we treat animals, beasts, or the land, or the Creator, which I depict to myself right now. Completely, no. Rather, everything is one big secret. And when I start relating to what I read in the Torah in such a way, I begin to feel this is so. That means that I enter the world of Asiya. And then I begin to think, so what does the Torah imply to us? And when I begin to see such hints for something, that is called drush. And then from drush, when I improve more, acquire spiritual qualities, I feel spiritual discernments in the spiritual world, I rise to the world of Bria, which is a remez, a hint. And when I completely understand the Torah, as written, they shall all know me from kids to adults, where I simply reveal the whole spiritual world and it is open up for me, that is called pshat, meaning undress, meaning undress from the concealment, all these degrees of concealment fell down and I reach the world of Atzilut, meaning at his place, I'm in his playing ground and everything is clear to me. So what is revealed to me then? It is revealed to me that true, the Torah tells us how we should live in this world according to such laws. Undoubtedly, we have to keep them as we see. Me, my neighbors, animals, beasts, the land, slaves, and how we treat our parents and our country where you live and how you treat the Creator and this whole mechanism, meaning very clear laws as if we don't need anything more. Sit, learn them, know everything that those sages who like to, wise people who like to study Talmud, or those judges who like to discuss and find all kinds of subtleties about the laws. No. When we turn to the book of Zohar, Zohar turns us upside down completely. Zohar says, we're not talking at all at this world about anything of this world. Rather, it is only talking about the will to receive created by the Creator, and there's nothing other than the will to receive. And that will to receive, the way it was created from a spiritual world, the will to receive, how it was created as a desire. And that desire was created by the light. It was created by the light. And that will to receive has to cascade and reach a state where it is completely disconnected from the light. Here the will to receive and the light are one. And they have to completely divide and distance from each other to discover how opposite they are from one another. Because the light which created the desire, it's like a baby, it's like a fetus in his mother's womb, and there is no difference between the fetus and the womb to such an extent that the womb and the whole body, the upper body, the body of the mother, takes care of that flesh which is seemingly stranger to her, but it is not stranger. It is the most precious thing in the woman's body. And the whole body in the form of still vegetative animate, not just in her thoughts, it completely takes care of that only. So it is completely one. The desire and the light are completely one. And in such a way, the creature is not there. Where is he? Rather, we have to reach a state where the creature will be revealed to have his own authority. He has to distance from the Creator. And so let's say the light is here, and the desire should be here, or the creature. Then we will say that this is a creature. Why then? Because that creature will be opposite, it will be bar in Aramaic, it's outside of the Creator, and they will be as plus and minus, opposite to one another. And then the creature, which is opposite to the Creator, when it will start discovering that it is opposite to the Creator, that's not easy. Rather, there are such phenomena that creature will start rising and return and feel himself that I exist. That I exist in the form of still, vegetative, animate, and then it reaches the degree of the speaking. Excuse me. Medaber, speaking. Speaking is a degree where he already begins to get to know himself. He doesn't just live like a dog or a cat. They live, but they don't know that they live. They don't feel and they don't think about the fact that they are alive. There are also such people. Also in the degree of the speaking, there is the still vegetative animate and speaking, and only the degree of the speaking, in the speaking, begins to think, what about my life? Where am I from? Why do I exist for? What's the meaning of this all, etc., etc. So when you begin to think about your level of your necessary existence, well, I live, that's fine, I live my life. No, I want to know, what does it mean, life? Why do we live for? So when I'm already thinking about something higher than that, that means that I want to reach the head of my state, to understand where do I come from, who determines things, according to which laws, what is the content, what is the essence of life? And then, a man who has such a question, that question is called the point in the heart. So the Torah addresses such a person, and then it tells him, well, you have before you a special revelation of a special system with your attitude towards the light. You will move on from this moment onward. You compare to the light. From that side, you have light, degrees over degrees of light, 125 degrees of them. 125 degrees of light. What does it mean, of light? Bestowal. The quality of bestowal. The quality of bestowal. And then, corresponding to that quality of bestowal, you will have to constantly to change. And the changes you'll have to go through compared to the light, they are called justice or sentences or trial. And those states that you are going through from one state to another, they are called incarnations. And the quality you have every moment is called your soul. So we are talking about the incarnations of souls. This is basically an action which we go through by keeping ourselves, by sustaining ourselves. At first we are as slaves, and then a Hebrew slave, and then as a daughter being sold into slavery, and then as a son towards his father and mother, and many more things. And we are comprising all these states from a donkey, a field, and from a fruit, and Cohen, Levi, Israel, and many other things. So all in all, what the Torah tells us about is how do we have to adjust our soul, our desire, which is very complicated, every time towards the light, the quality of Bistol. And the Zohar speaks openly exactly about that to start with. It's a shame I didn't print it. From the beginning of the portion of justice, if you enter the Zohar, yeah, we have a part from the portion where it says, no, but he explains that we're talking about incarnations of souls. No. So you didn't take it from the beginning of the portion, because there, in item 1 of this portion, Zohar says that we are talking about incarnations only, and we have to relate to them, and there is no slave, women, husband, son, daughter, or anything else. Rather, we're only talking about man who goes through in his will to receive from complete slavery until he reaches across the whole portion. How do we advance? It is written in a very consistent manner that we advanced from the furthest away level from the Creator to the highest and closest levels to the Creator. And in the end of the portion, Moshe is called to climb the mountain, and then again we receive the Ten Commandments. And this is the essence of the portion. All the incarnations we have to go through during these 125 degrees until the end of correction, everything is said in this portion, and there, that is why it is called Mishpatim. You have to be your own judge. The Torah addresses you. You have to appoint guards and officers on every gate. You have to make the sentence and the trial, and know how you sort out your desires, with which you can advance, which do you put on the side for the time being. We know that we can advance with the stony heart. We know that we cannot advance with the slave for the time being. So he should only be present in our development to help, but he cannot determine anything on his own. Rather, there is a head, his rabbi, above him. So he nullifies himself to the head, and this is how he too advances. So everything is in man, and man is called a small world. Therefore, a maid and her mistress and the slave and his master, the widow, everything which is this portion speaks about here, the poor and the rich, these are all desires within our souls, which are all revealed in our souls all at once. It's not that you just advance from one degree to another. Now you're a slave, then you're a master, then you're a Kohen, priest, and so on. No, rather in each and every state you are comprised all at once from all the desires, and each has its own special state. And all in all, when they say that you are men as a small world, you include in one state, you are comprised in one state, all of them. And until you don't sort them out and make a calculation with each and every desire according to what is written here in this portion compared to the light, it's not that you make a sentence, this desire has to do like this, so I do this, I twist this around, another desire, I should do something else, I can't do it. Rather, every desire needs to be examined compared to the light on the right side. So from the right I have to extract the light that will influence me, that will influence my desires, and then in your light we shall see light, and then I will make these trials upon myself, and accordingly I will demand the light to come to me for the second time, perform corrections on me, and after the corrections I see that they already exist, meaning the trial has been made, and then I deserve to achieve the next state, which is a fulfillment. So the light comes for the third time. The first time the light comes and I reveal the recognition of evil where I am. Second time it comes and corrects me. Third time it comes and fills me up. Therefore, usually we have three states, and we are sub-states when we move from one state to another, and by doing so I complete the degree and move on to the next degree. That means that I have completed the incarnation, I've completed working with this package of desires which is revealed in a certain degree for the time being where I am. These are the trials, justice. I think that we and our friends, those who hear us, they can open the book of Zohar with the commentary of the letter and read there in Hebrew how Baal HaSulam explains and how the Zohar itself says that it is only talking about incarnations of souls. The whole portion takes here only of the incarnation of souls. It's very interesting. Usually we're talking about incarnations because every time we rise from one degree to another, from one state to another, these are all incarnations. When I was in state 1 and moved on to state 2, that's an incarnation. State 2 to state 3. I keep rising in degrees like this light descended from above. In the exact same ways, I climb back from downward, down upward, in the exact same steps. Therefore, everything is defined. Only I have to extract the action of the light on me to scrutinize the state for me, to make a just trial for me. I cannot read in the Torah what is a just trial. I have to discover, compared to the light, who am I and how do I adjust myself to the light. And if I come to a complete compatibility with the light, I know this is what is written in the Torah. What does this mean written? This is what is revealed. I don't have to read all the books. It happens in me. I myself keep within me the same trial which is seemingly written there. And then when I feel it, I discover in Tagin, Otiyot, Te'amim, Nekudot, in all the Tanta, I discover the entire essence of the trial. And this is how we advance. Only after the trial is completely over, in the revelation of evil, its correction, complete correction, then we advance forward from a Hebrew slave. This is the state the portion starts with, until Moses climbs the mountain and is there for 40 days and 40 nights. Meaning, transcending or the preparation towards the ascent, towards climbing the mountain, is keeping all the sentences within men. This is the correction of the entire man. It's not easy, right? But you see, that's the way it is. This is after everybody receive, I can see it on your face that I wasn't precise in what I've said. Well, if you agree to go through all these incarnations in correcting your soul that you have heard now, and you have attained the essence of corrections, you haven't realized them yet. The corrections are being realized later on. But if you agree to all these things, then you are rewarded that your point in the heart, this red point over here, it climbs the mountain, and in 40 days and 40 nights, meaning it connects to the quality of Bina, to the quality of Bistol, and receives from there the entire light which is required to keep these laws. So it is implied by Moshe coming back from the Creator and telling the people all these laws, and they say everything the Creator said we shall do. So that's the preparation for that. If they're ready, then they receive the boards of covenant. I'm sure everybody here have plenty of questions, so pass on the mic. What is the thing of a slave? It's something very interesting, because in the Torah, and a Hebrew slave has so many rights, sometimes even more than his master. So if it is in the internality, then whose slave am I? Who do I enslave myself for? Why should a father sell his daughter to be a maid? What are we talking about? Well, a slave in our world, it's a question, is it so bad to be a slave? We see that slavery was a very long period of time in humanity. And according to the length of this period, we didn't see so many riots, that the slaves started resisting and resisting the regime. No, it didn't happen. Rather, slavery is an important property which you have to keep, because it is very precious. Perhaps it costs more than a horse, donkey, or a camel. If we're talking about the nations of the world, in the people of Israel, the master had a very severe law of how he had to keep his, how he had to treat his slave. A slave comes with rights. Well, today we are slaves in our lives also. Slave has to work, he has to do what the master tells him to do, but he has working hours, the master has to take care for food, sleep, and everything. If you will give many people in Africa to be slaves in conditions as written here about a slave, they will gladly agree to it, because they don't have to take care for food, where to sleep, or clothes. They can get married, bear children, and all. So a slave is a social status. And we also see in ancient cultures that slaves were also very scholar, they were also doctors, scientists, and they remained slaves nonetheless. It's a special culture, unlike today. Also today you have many places in the world when they use people as slaves. So first of all, we have to understand that our approach to that word slavery, it's not like we think it is, that a slave has nothing and he has nothing of himself. Rather, the slave of the Creator, this is something else. The slave of the Creator is that we, in our will to receive, we want to reach a state that our entire will to receive in its natural form, which is only for itself, that it will completely disappear and it will become the will to bestow. But we ourselves, in our recognition, in our understanding, we want it to change that bad. And this is what we're talking about. Meaning the slave here, it means well, I discover my desires that they cannot be a part of spirituality more than the form of slavery. But this is a high place nonetheless. Just imagine that all your desires, thoughts, drives, qualities which you were born with, everything you are, everything you got, now you have the forces to work on yourself in such a way that all the inclinations, all your qualities, your entire internality, everything is dedicated to one thing only, in order to reach the love of others, let's say. Even though you are incapable, you discover that you are incapable of, but somehow you want it to happen. This is the beginning of slavery. And then to the extent that your will to receive is revealed more and more in every moment, it keeps on growing. And on top of it growing, you are prepared to make of it only as a donkey, as a slave, well, to the will to receive, to acts of bestowal. And that your head will work only in the direction of bestowal from now on. But I don't just do it by pressing, by turning a dial in one moment and that's it. Rather, I have to work on it every moment until I shift all of my desires for the sake of others. So it's not a simple state. And this is the degree of a slave. Therefore, it says that you shall work for 6 years, and in the seventh year, you shall be free. And if he doesn't want to, what does it mean he doesn't want to? He already has a wife, kids, and he loves his wife, he loves his landlord, his master. We have to see what it all means. Then you have to make a deficiency for him, pierce his ear of what it means. So these are very complicated things, additional corrections. And more and more. So to come to slavery, the concept slavery, the slave of the Lord, the loyal slave, this is a very high degree. But it's not the final degree. The final degree is that you will be sons to your Creator. There's a question here about this whole thing of incarnations, of your souls. This is a very familiar and confusing concept. Therefore, it was hard for me to follow your explanation. The word itself is confusing, Gav is asking. From one state to another spiritual state, which I move on to, that is called incarnation. One state to another. Now, I'm in a certain state. When I'm in a certain state, well, now I'm in a certain state, that's it, this is me. These are my desires. These are my desires. I have 613 desires. And they're all, at first, in order to receive. And I have to go through all of them and move them, turn them to the intention to bestow. 613 desires. Then I take all these desires one by one and examine all these desires. So if I have 613 desires, then I have 613 intentions in order to receive. And I have to reach 613 intentions in order to bestow. So I took all these desires with all these intentions and made corrections. I don't correct the desire itself. I have 613 desires here and there. Rather, I change the intentions from in order to receive to in order to bestow. So I change them from in order to receive to in order to bestow. So I corrected them. If I corrected the entire 613 desires, intentions, from one state where I've been to here, I corrected all of them, that means that I've been through one incarnation. So this is the first incarnation. That's it. Now I completed that. I corrected it completely. Now my next state is revealed to me. Again, 613 desires with the intentions in order to receive, turning them to the intentions in order to bestow. And again, I have to correct them, and that is called the second incarnation. And this is how I have to go through how many? 613. No, 613. I'm comprised from 613 organs. 248 and 365. Ramach plus Shasa. 248 plus 365. All in all, 613. This is the desires that I have in me. But how many incarnations like that? Do I need 125 incarnations or degrees? That's it. Until the end of correction. What's not clear here? And what is the connection between the concept of incarnation to our physiological body, its death, demise and all? This flesh, Rav is asking, there is no connection between the two. Perhaps parts. Well, I have to go through this whole process. Usually, well, there are different cases, but normally I have to go through this whole process while I live in this world. Is it clear what I'm writing? It's hard for me to see. So if I've done part and part I haven't, then I am reborn and reborn again. I complete the whole process. But usually, well, we don't understand it so much. We can't understand it. But the main thing for us is to start the road, and then it goes smoothly and nicely. Yes? You explained before that we have to correct the desires. In every incarnation, we have to correct all the desires. The entire 1613 desires in which my soul is comprised in for the time being. So if I correct them, why do I have to go through it again and again and again? These are 613 other desires. Yesterday you had your desires yesterday. Today you're different. You have a new perception, new sight, new thought about everything. You think differently now. You're already with a different fulfillment. Your 613 qualities are different in their essence now. You are a new man. Every day you are a new man. Therefore, although always you are comprised from 613 desires like the organs in your physiological body, 248 and 365 organs and tendons, but they change and they grow in quality, not in the number, rather in their size and in their quality. Otherwise, how will you reach the end of correction? What does it mean that you ascend from day to day? We see that a portion of justice trial, this is something good. This is a beautiful thing. We already begin to relate to the internality of the Torah. Yes, Professor. I care about the question, why do we have such a multiplicity? On the one hand, the desires are 613. It's quite a big, substantial number. The maximum I can cope with is 5. And the incarnations are 125 levels. It's a high building. It's not bad, let me tell you. If deliberately, if we are comprised from five parts. We learn it in four phases of direct light. The light that created the desire, it has to create it until a state that desire responds and asks about itself, who am I, what am I, whatever for. So the light creates the desire to receive. Then the will to receive wants to be like the light, the will to bestow. Then it is comprised from the will to receive and the will to bestow. And then it begins to ask, who am I, what am I? He begins to ask about his root, about the light that created him. Who am I, where do I come from? Who am I compared to the light? So that last Bechina, which is called the fourth Bechina, is compelled to be here. And only about that we can say that this is the creature, because the creature is he who asks about himself and about the Creator. He feels himself different from the Creator. He feels that, hold on a minute, there is some kind of... There is something here which is external to me. Somebody created me. Somebody wants something out of me. What do I want of him in return? Therefore, this is the last Bechina, and this is the fifth Bechina from the light. But it is the only Bechina, discernment, that is asking about itself. And in order to ask the right questions, it divides by itself into five more parts, because it has to perform a pattern in it, like the first, second, third, and fourth Bechinot, to understand what is happening outside of me. So it builds in her a pattern, and from that pattern it feels, oh, this is what happened to me, this is how he created me, whatever for. And in five additional patterns it begins to understand, oh, he did it so that I will come back to him, to his level. So it turns out that we have five times. You learned in the university, so you know that this is 125. This is something necessary. This is how we attain the answer for this first question, why do we exist, for where do we come from, and so on. And then we have no other choice but to go through such sentences, trials in us, the recognition of evil, whatever for, which corrections, in order to understand gradually, and then to obtain our root. That's the way it is, 125 times. Well, but where the 613 comes from, we also learn that I cannot feel my vitality according to the light any less than being comprised in my desire from Tarach 248, 620 desires and no more. Why not 1,000? Actually, it is 1,000. Only these additional desires I cannot attain for the time being until the end of correction. But when we do reach the end of correction, we attain more. I just wanted to say, in that case, the method is based on some scrutiny. There is a structure here that perhaps were built in such a way that without relating to the structure, we cannot advance. Of course. So this is a real science then. Well, yes. Yeah, this is a real science. I'm interested in what happens after my body will rot in the ground, will disintegrate in the ground. You can leave it even now. What do you need for? But my whole thoughts, my whole desires are, well, your thoughts and desires are not in your body. Let's replace everything, including your brain. If not today, then tomorrow it will be possible. Today we can always cut off 99% of the body and replace it. Tomorrow we will be able to cut off 100% of it. Then you will ask, where are my thoughts? What is me which is left? They took everything from me. What is left? Where am I? Then you will discover that you are outside of your body anyway, and that body lives next to you like a beast. You have a cat, a dog. Do they live next to you? It's the same thing with your body. Only now you are connected to that body so much that you feel that you or him are one. You see, like how people are walking their dogs. You see that they and the dog are the same. They are so addicted to one another. It's the same with us and our body. But I'm telling you, the day will come, and we will see it in surgeries and organs, implant, that we are not present in our body at all. We only gotten used to that animal being next to me to such a degree that, oops, that me and my animal are the same. You don't believe me, do you? Put a dog in your home for 10 years and you'll see that this is exactly so. We see it on people. We are truly so. I does not exist in me. It belongs to a zone outside the body, because my body is animate, and me is the degree of the speaking, and the speaking doesn't belong to it at all. You can replace my whole head and my heart. Of course, it doesn't change. Once we thought, I remember when we had the first heart implant in South Africa, everybody thought, which kind of a man is it going to be, with which qualities? Even though they spoke and said that nothing is going to change, I remember people asking him and reporters came to him. Today we're laughing at it, but it was hard for humanity to get used to it, that the heart is just a pump. A heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. The same thing about the brain, 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 nothing. It is just a machine, and that's it, which manages our beastly body. It's the same with animals. Yeah, it is the same with animals. Therefore, it is written, everybody are as beasts. Well, we have, apart from the Zohar here, it says the following. Items 98 and 99, it says, people are confused and they do not see the truth in the Torah. And the Torah calls them every day in love, and they do not want to listen to it, because in the Torah something comes out of its bag and immediately hide again. And while it is apparent out of its bag and immediately hides, the Torah doesn't do it unless for those who know in it and are known in it. This is the words of the Torah. It is revealed only to those who love her. The Torah knows that that wise of heart opens the gate every day. What did he do? She disclosed her face to him from the palace, and she hinted to him, and immediately came back to her place and was concealed again. All those from there did not know and did not look. Rather, he alone and his intestines, his heart and soul follow her, and therefore the Torah is revealed and is discovered, and works with love to those who love her, to awaken love. This is the main thing. The result of all these trials is that we will correct ourselves, our whole 613 desires, to have one desire, and that all of us together will be one man, and all of us together will have the quality, a mutual quality of bestow in love thy friend as thyself. And all in all, our whole attitude, mutual attitude in mutual love between us, will be equal to how the Creator relates to us in its intensity. And this is how we reveal within us the conclusive quality of bestowal, which is called the Creator, and this is something we have to come to. And when that quality will govern us, that state will be called adhesion. And this is the conclusion of the whole process we have to go through. The process of correction. Meanwhile, we reach only the end of correction, and then we have from that degree onward, when we reach, when we resemble the Creator, when we equalize with Him, then from there on, there it is called the secret, which we are incapable of understanding what happens to us next, when we are corrected, connected as one creature, as the Creator created us to start with. Only we have reached the same state on our own, by ourselves, we are there in revelation of that degree, the place of birth, meaning we have reached the degree of the one who gave birth to us. And from there on, there is an ascent after ascent, which we don't know what happens to us next. But of course, this is without any revelation of evil, because we have completely corrected evil already. And we ascend to such degrees, to such dimensions. I hope we will come to it quickly. So the trials that we go through, the incarnations that we go through, they bring us to the corrected state, to the end of correction. And in the end of correction onward, then we begin, truly begin to pace in degrees of eternity somewhere. Yes? I wanted to ask, we have some time left. There are more questions behind you. In the first drawing, Hold on. Which drawing do you mean? Which diagram? That we judge ourselves. This is what I heard you saying. Now the question is, how can I judge myself? Which tools do I have to judge myself? Oh, the light. See what happens. Only through the light, which comes from above, it comes to us. In your light, we shall see light. Do I know how to judge myself? Who am I? Bribery blinds me, and my ego, and my calculation, who is close to me, who is far away from me, this is mine, this is yours. I don't know how to do anything. Only the light that comes, only the light is capable of giving me the right calculation. Only the light. Without it, I can't do anything. I'm nothing without it. And it's the same in each degree. And here the main thing is the group support. Because without the group support, man comes to great despair. I don't know how to explain this. It seems to you that you have corrected your ego, that you can share things with your friends and everyone, and you're fine, and you have risen above this, and the next day, again, and even worse. And the day after tomorrow, again, and even worse. And only the support of the environment, which sustains you and tells you, this is the way, this is, we have to carry on, and one penny adds to a penny until it reaches a great sum. This is how we perform the corrections, and only through the illumination of the light. So can you describe this process in an organized way? Desire is revealing me. I feel the corruption, and then I turn to the light. And what does it mean to turn to the light? What does it do exactly? How does it come to me? You're asking for an external upper force. You're asking for support. You're incapable. You are incapable of coping with things on your own. And then, as a result of your despair, you come to a complaint, a scream, and the people of Israel sigh from the hard work, and then the light is revealed to them for those desires which are called the people of Israel. The light is revealed to those corrupted desires, and then they understand that they are immersed in evil, and as a result they want to reach goodness and so on. So man, who is starting the path in a simple, naive kind of way, you're brought to a place where they're talking about the correction. Try to belong to it. Try to open books, to listen to our TV channel, to live with that concept, and you feel how it works on you gradually, and suddenly, oops, I understood something. Oops, I feel something new. I discover something. Good things, bad things, new things. From myself, from my observation on the world, from how the world around me behaves, and all those things are gradually revealed only as a result of the connection to a group that studies, and from the channel that is always there for you. This is how it works. We have nothing else and we don't need anything else. That is called the environment. And you advance only through the environment. Well, Niv, we have something special and short. It's written in Zohar, justice. Because of that, the heart sees, the heart hears, the heart understands, the heart knows. And in the heart, every wise of heart, I have given wisdom to such a person. Therefore, Chokhmah, wisdom and Tvunah, and wisdom of the heart, in which the heaven and earth were made, and the tabernacle was made in them. This is a great thing that there is a wisdom in the heart, because the heart is an emotion, and usually an emotion turns off the mind, or the mind turns off the emotion. And they collide with each other. Only when we're working correctly with three lines through the middle line, then it turns out that we have an emotion and mind working together, supporting each other. The more emotion that I have, the more mind that I have to realize the emotion correctly, to have the fulfillment. An emotion is a desire. And the contrary, according to the size of the mind, the emotion develops. Well, in corporality, they cancel each other, but in spirituality, it's the opposite. They support each other, and then we become richer, bigger, greater, and we also develop emotional tools, and along with that, the mind grows. Great, strong mind, very complicated mind, according to the emotion, to understand what we feel and to realize our feelings correctly. Only in the wisdom of Kabbalah it can happen, meaning the wisdom of the heart, the wisdom of reception, how to receive and in wisdom, so that the light of Chokhmah will clothe the light of Chasadim. Chasadim is the emotion, the Chokhmah is the mind, and they both clothe each other and bring us wholeness and perfection. So let's come to have good trials. So with that wonderful explanation of the book of Zohar about portion of Mishpatim, justice, we thank all the participants. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you all. Shabbat Shalom.